there's a lot of hate going on. You pop a cherry with an orgy and it's all good.
Really, really talented, handsome young man.
Don't walk in here with a giant banana and think everything's going to be peaches.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Monday, March 14th, 2011. I'm your host, Adam Barry, and joining me today, three writers who are better prognosticators than ESPN's Joe Lunardi. We got Jesse Simonton.
Winning. Duh.
Kyle Maestri from GatorBait.net.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, Adam.
And Greg Luca.
It really is. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good. Greg is back from Atlanta, where he and the Gators had a heck of a weekend at the SEC tournament.
Me and the Gators. Everything we do together.
That's right. That's you and one of the same with the Gators, Greg. All right, and Greg, just get us up to speed how the Gators did in Atlanta, losing in the SEC tournament final to Kentucky.
Yep, started off, beat Tennessee 85-74, beat Vanderbilt 77-66, and then lost 70-54 to Kentucky. Kentucky got balanced scoring, Knight, Jones, and third guy that scored like
Miller?
15
Miller?
To 17. Miller, there we go. All had strong games.
You have
Kentucky.
A box score in front of you.
All matched up.
SEC tournament MVP, Darius
right,
Miller.
That's right.
Yeah, they just like in Lexington, they matched up really well with the Gators. The Florida tried a bunch of different man-to-man situations, just couldn't find anything to slow down Kentucky's offense.
Really encouraging first two games, though, that Florida played. It looked pretty good against Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and then kind of the wheels just fell off the wagon.
They did, both of them, especially in the second half. They had at least 46 points in like four straight second halves before the Kentucky game.
And then started slow, though, in those first two games. What were the first half numbers? Really, really not impressive, and Billy Donovan talked about that. Just this morning.
Yeah, really, they scored 29 in the first half against Tennessee and only 28 in the first half against Vanderbilt. Just coming out, Macklin particularly struggled in the beginning of a lot of those games, just whether it was they said they weren't playing as connected in the first half as they need to be and as they were in the second half of those games. Just overall weren't doing what they needed to do to be able to fill it up better.
I mean, usually, like, that's sort of how they seek to establish early on is going inside of the big guys. Is that, like, is that an issue going forward, or is it just game, you know, not working for him?
I think it's just a couple bad games, and then especially with Macklin, I felt like he struggled with the quick turnaround between games, especially with his...
with his 90-year-old body, yeah.
His chronic knee issues, apparently, so just having more time off will be good for him. I don't expect that that's a problem going forward for them.
All right, just Kyle and Jesse, what do y'all think of the way they played in the tournament?
First two games were pretty impressive. They looked good. I think beating two good teams by about 10... Each game is a good sign. Also beating teams for the third time, right? They beat Vanderbilt twice in the regular season.
Swept Vanderbilt.
So supposedly, I hear that's hard to do, according to everybody out there. Right. So that I guess that's kind of impressive. And the Tennessee thing, I mean, they played really bad in that game, like really bad, I thought, pretty much across the board. I know there's a lot of complaining about the officials from Florida fans, which I think they got hosed on some calls at the same time. I mean,
you're talking about the Kentucky game?
Yeah, the Kentucky game.
Yeah.
At the same time, that's not at all the reason they lost. No. But it was just all around pretty much a poor performance. And but, you know, you get to throw that one away. That's okay. I think you're encouraged by the fact they made a run to the championship game. They didn't bow out early with something disappointing and reason to be optimistic heading into the tournament.
Yeah, I thought the Tennessee game was the first game of the tournament was their best overall game. Mm-hmm. During the weekend in Atlanta, they had played a really strong second half. They just shut down Hobson. Scotty Wilbekin played some good defense. Kenny played some pretty good defense, and they really just frustrated Tennessee. And at the same time, while it bit them in the ass in the Kentucky game, they got a lot of those calls, and went to the free throw line. Seemingly every 5 seconds,
right.
Parsons or Walker or somebody was on the free throw line. So, and then the Vanderbilt game, I thought that they obviously shot the ball really well in the second half, but I thought Vanderbilt just missed a lot of easy shots, which helped Florida. But I mean, Florida played a strong second half. They won, and then Kentucky just did what they did last year, which is, they got hot at the right time and they are really talented. And Florida just got killed inside. Macklin couldn't even figure out how to get position in that game. I mean, he was just getting pushed out. They still, for some reason, didn't understand that Terrence Jones only goes left. But,
yeah.
I mean.
But, yeah, also Tyus was useless, and then Patrick.
For a change.
Yeah. Figured he'd mix it up.
Yeah. Patrick Young was on the court way too much, to me, just because he offers nothing. I mean, I know Macklin was in some foul trouble, but, Young was out there a lot for his defensive purposes and to give him another body. But unfortunately, he kind of masks their or didn't mask their deficiencies inside because they can't really give them the ball and call a play for them like they can Macklin.
Yeah, right. And going inside too, they weren't able to drive the ball inside either, which we know when you can't throw it inside and you can't drive inside, that's why there was the 29 free throws for Kentucky and the 8 free throws for Florida was you can't get fouled if you're not going to take it to the basket.
Yeah, they knew little Vernon's little Irving's little underhanded shot to just get fouled. They're volleyballing those things out of bounds.
Like 5 times. Yeah.
Man, Evo Vargas is on the floor. Irving Walker is not the same player. All right. Yeah. Former Florida disaster. Eloy Vargas.
Eloy Vargas was having way too much of a contribution for anything to make sense.
I will say this about Young. I actually think like he needs to be on the floor a lot. My opinion is that the single biggest thing I think that this is missing from his team from watching over the weekend is their bigs cannot protect the rim. Like Tyus and Macklin cannot protect the rim. And even if teams aren't scoring inside, they can't play them without fouling, right, in my opinion. And I think that's a real problem going forward. Because, I mean, if Kenny, Irv, and Chandler shoot the way they did against Kentucky, you're not going to win any game. Like, you just, when you shoot the ball that bad, it's pretty hard to beat anybody. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you have to be able to play defense in games like that. And I just felt like there was a run where Kentucky made at the beginning of the second half where they were just getting easy basket, drawing foul after foul. And I think Young at least gives you a chance to compete on that end of the floor, whereas I thought Macklin just looked terrible, like as bad as I've seen him defensively this tournament with Azili even just went off against him early on against Vanderbilt. So I don't know. I feel like that's a major, major problem for this team. I think that's the glaring issue for this team as far as I'm concerned, but maybe I'm making too much of it.
No, I think toughness inside is a real issue. I mean, we've called Macklin soft for 2 years. I don't think Tyus has a whole lot of defense in him. I think Young is the perfect answer to that. And Eric Murphy's not a huge banger, but actually, Young is a good answer to that.
I read a stat before the conference tournament started. ESPN had like a list of like top 10 like good teams most likely to be upset, and then like top 10 teams least likely to be upset. Excuse me, in their conference tournament, and they had Florida on the like most likely to be upset list on like 8 or 9, which I don't really agree with. But the interesting stat they had was that they give up like a huge percentage of the points they allow in the paint. Like they're like top 10 worst in the nation at giving up like their percentage of points allowed come from in the paint, which makes a lot of sense to me based on what I think of this team. So if they can show some toughness inside, or if Young can, you know, kind of provide that presence, then I think that's a major issue going into the tournament for them.
Well, I think Young can obviously be that guy defensively, but he's gotten better on offense certainly from the start of the season, but he's still not a guy that you can have in there for more than 15 or 20 minutes a game just because he won't be able to score enough points to be that inside presence you need scoring that way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Florida has two big flaws. The fact that they're weak inside, and then the fact that they're just a streaky shooting team. I mean, it only takes one game to get bounced in the NCAA or the SEC tournament. And there's a reason Kenny Boynton averages a hair over 13 points a game, even though he's been scoring, you know, 20-plus the last week, is that he'll throw up some of these 6- and 7-point games to get to that medium, and all it takes is one bad game from Kenny or Irv.
Where he shoots 1 of 9.
Exactly, and, you know, Florida gets bounced, so.
And Florida's also at its best, like Greg said, when they're getting in the lane, when Kenny can get in there, and when Chandler's driving. They didn't look like an aggressive team. It looked very much like the team I saw at the beginning of this season, you know, where they were just kind of content to sit back and let their shooting dictate whether they won.
I want to give Kentucky some credit for that, because I think the one thing Kentucky did remarkably well while I was watching the game is they really grabbed every defensive rebound. They didn't. Florida ordinarily hits the glass really hard, and I think either Tennessee or the Vanderbilt game, they had like 18 offensive rebounds or something like that. Like, they did really well, I think, on the glass. And I thought Kentucky just did a really good job keeping Chandler off the offensive glass and keeping the bigs from any second chance points. So I thought I was very impressed with the way they did that.
Right, and I'm sure I don't know how much of that I know is Macklin's injuries, because I think he is at least a big presence in getting a body on somebody, so freeing Chandler up to get in there, and Young obviously can take up a body. I don't know how much of that was Macklin. Do you think, Greg, you mentioned that?
I mean, I don't know if it really affected him in terms of like rebounding or whatever. I just felt like he couldn't catch the ball. Like he was turning it over a ton. He had 5 turnovers against Kentucky. And then he just wasn't like on offense, he was like Billy Donovan said this morning, he was like taking too many dribbles and getting it stolen from him, and his shots were just off. So I'm not sure if in terms of like boxing out he was worse than normal, because he's not the strongest rebounder to begin with.
Right.
But I think overall his play was down, but I don't know if the rebounding aspect was that much affected.
I joked about the Eloy Vargas thing earlier, but I thought it was also a really rough game from Irving Walker. One of the worst games I've seen him play.
Yeah, I think he definitely struggles against Kentucky because all of their guards are just so much bigger and longer, and they're just as quick as he is because they're such athletic guys. So I think that always gives them trouble when they go against the Wildcats.
Something else Billy Donovan talked about this morning that could be an issue heading into the tournament. Do you think Irving having to play bigger guards in the tournament could be an issue going forward? Because obviously he struggles against Kentucky.
Well, I mean, there's bigger guards, and then there's bigger guards that Kentucky has. Like, they're above the field in terms of guys who are going to be able to guard you and shut you down as a short guard like Walker is. So I don't think what he sees in the tournament will be much different from what he saw throughout the season. It's just that Kentucky is above the rest.
Okay.
Until he faces Pitt or Kansas or somebody like that.
And there will be no survivors yet. That's the thing, is that Walker was really bad, in the last half of the SEC season last year. Then up till that point, I've been pretty impressed with him in conference play, despite sort of his shortcomings, obviously physically and whatnot.
I mean, as far as the bigger guards are concerned, like, I don't remember a game this year where one of, like, a point guard or a shooting guard came in a really good one and just blasted them. Like, just got whatever they wanted on the offensive end every time down. Like, maybe there was once or twice, but I feel like their defense on those guys have been well. I think where they've struggled more, honestly, is when you get an athletic wing guy like Darius Miller mm-hmm. or like Scottie Hobson or guys like that, where Chandler's a little too slow to guard them and the other guys are a little too small to guard them. And that really provides, like, a problem for them defensively. And inside, obviously, they can't protect the rim like we talked about. To me, those are the bigger defensive issues. I mean, a lot of people like to talk about guard play this time of year, and yeah, Irv's real small, but I just don't remember times where anybody came. You know, like, what's the kid on Georgia's name?
Gerald Robinson?
Yeah, I don't remember him ever going off, or, like, yeah, I don't think had, like, a particularly huge game. Like, those are, like, guys who are, like, bigger scorers. Like, maybe they're not huge, but for Irv, you'd think that it would be a matchup problem, and I don't remember them ever going off.
Well, you know who, like, the point guard who's done the best against Florida in the last couple years is Devin Downey, who's no taller than Irv. You know, I don't think the size is an issue so much. I agree with you. I think that Darius Miller and the Travis Leslie types
are those
are
the
matchups
ones that I think give them a lot of problems.
All right, and that was sort of an awkward transition into talking about the tournament, which Florida was announced as a 2-seed in the Southeast region, going to face off against big powerhouse Cal Santa Barbara on Thursday night in Tampa, making everyone, Gators fans and media alike, happy because the Gators will be in the St. Pete Times Forum, a short 2-hour drive from here. Let's talk about the draw, first of all, the fact that they're a 2-seed. I was surprised, personally, but then you look at the field and it kind of makes sense.
Well, I mean, to me, it was shocking just based on their resume. Like, we all know about the bad losses, like UCF and Jacksonville. And I thought maybe if they won the SEC tournament, if they beat Kentucky in the championship, then they could definitely have a 3 and maybe an outside shot at a 2. But after they lost that game, I thought a 2 was just completely out of the question.
Yeah, I predicted a couple weeks ago that I said I thought Florida could get a 2-seed, but I made a caveat with that I thought they had to win the tournament, the SEC tournament. So I am surprised that they got it without winning the tournament. And obviously Kyle is not as surprised.
Well,
but
I think the theme of this college basketball season is underachievement across the board. And that kind of applies to the tournament seeding and field. Like, as usual this year, nobody just reached out and grabbed it. You know, nobody played their way into that 2-seed definitively. You look at like a team like Texas who faded, or like a Syracuse, or a team like UConn, who, in my opinion, just didn't have a good enough regular season to warrant that. I understand they played a good 5 days in the Garden, but for a team like that to come in, I think they were 9-9 in conference, and they were the 9th seed in the Big East tournament. They were the 9th best team in the regular season in the Big East.
Right.
That somehow they're going to be in the top 9 teams in the nation for me going in because they got hot for 5 days.
Well, see, that's why.
Or a Purdue who craps the bed against Michigan State. Like, they were just, as usual, nobody wanted it, and Florida ended up, they have a lot of wins against good teams, and you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah.
That's why I was surprised, but I definitely agree with that assessment, just because, and it's obvious the way the whole tournament was seeded, that they don't take into account what happens in this microcosm of a weekend, right, of whether it's the Big East or Alabama didn't get into the whole tournament, you know, mm-hmm. and they won a couple games. So, I mean, they obviously don't take that, they don't put nearly as much weight to these conference tournaments, I think, as fans do.
Absolutely.
Like, Kentucky fans are going crazy because they didn't get, you know, right, they're a 4-seed. And maybe that might be a little loafo as well, as they played at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously they they take into account from game one to, you know, game 30 whatever that we're at now. So
I think rightfully so too. I mean, I think Jay Billis, I was watching him over the weekend.
His head about exploded.
Yeah, he was saying he wishes that they would see the tournament and have the field ready to go before conference tournaments. That conference tournaments were not a factor. And I think I might be taking a little bit too far, but I like the fact that like there has to be perspective for the whole season. You're playing for your whole season from day one until the last day of your conference tournament, and that's your entire resume. You know, I don't really like the whole like last 10 stuff like that. If we're projecting going forward, obviously we'll look at stuff like that and we fill out our brackets, but as far as just your resume, it's a complete resume as far as I'm concerned. And we could talk about strength of schedule and stuff, numbers, but like Billy said today, and like I heard I think Gottlieb say over the weekend, scheduling these teams isn't enough. You got to beat them. The fact that you play a tough schedule. I mean, good for. I applaud you for like giving yourself a chance. But if you don't beat anybody, yeah. who cares? And Florida beat a lot of good teams, and they beat teams on the road. These tournament games are not at home. So Kentucky, a team who has a decent resume, but they did all their work in Rupp. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they had a good SEC tournament, but on the road they struggled huge in conference play, and that's got to be. It's not the factor, but it's a factor.
Right. And that, I mean, that's why if you look at a lot of these teams, that's why they are seated where they are. The tournament and Gene Smith, the athletic director of Ohio State who headed up the tournament, the field, they definitely valued how good these teams played on the road. Right. Because, like, again, Bama didn't get in, and they were awful on the road, right. really good at home. And, you know, my Dogs did get in, and they won 8 games on the road. You know, they were 8-4. On the road, and so that, you know, did help them out. And like you said, Florida played really well in opponents' arenas, winning in Tennessee. So
I think another thing that was huge was the non-conference strength of schedule, because you look mm-hmm. at Florida had really strong non-conference strength of schedule just based on all the teams they played earlier in the year. And then a team like Colorado that didn't make it but is better than teams like VCU and UAB who did, they did not play anybody out of conference. So I think that was something that the committee looked at a lot, just in terms of trying to schedule good teams, and then, of course, doing well against those teams matters too. Right. But
because UAB actually played a lot of hard people yeah. out of conference, but they just got beaten by everybody. Well, Duke killed them. Georgia killed them. Lots of people just killed them.
I don't have too much of a problem. I'll get my bubble-ish rant out here, I guess. But I don't have too much of a problem with the field at all this year. I know 2 years ago I was really upset they let Arizona in. Like, there are years where I'm very upset. This year, the bubble was so weak that if you didn't get in, go home and tell your team, we got to do better than that. We had a chance, we had all the chances in the world to play ourselves in, and we didn't do it. I think that's on you at that point, because the bubble was just so weak this year. That being said, I think the UAB selection was a really bad one, because I'm not in favor of, like, well, you scheduled Duke, walked into their building, and got smacked by 20. That looks good on your resume. Those are the type of teams you have to be able to compete against when you get to the tournament. Right. So I don't think you score bonus points for that. But at the same time, I'm listening to Colorado's coach, whose name I don't know, but he was on ESPN, and he's saying how, you know, flummoxed they are, how they couldn't get in, and he's saying how they did all this great non-conference scheduling, and he's like, we played Harvard at Harvard, and we played, San Diego at San Diego. Or so, like, these schools are total. I'm like, come on, man. That's unbelievable. I understand you went away from your home building, yeah. but Harvard at Harvard, man. That's what we're talking about for what should push you over the edge?
They lost, I think, a big thing. They lost to Georgia without Tompkins.
Right.
Like, I mean. But I do think going on the little rant about who was in and, you know, who got their bubbles burst or whatever, I did think that Colorado over VCU. I thought VCU was the most egregious pick in the field. Their RPI was not impressive. Their strength of schedule was not impressive. They didn't beat anybody good, and they lost to freaking Georgia State. I mean, like, how they got in over – Colorado did win 6 games against RPI top 50 guys, including beating Kansas State, who's a pretty highly seeded team, 3 times. I think if anybody has – I don't understand the Virginia Tech argument. Watching that for
an
hour.
It's like they want a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, we've been snubbed the last couple of years, so there must be – like, their coach thinks – Greenberg thinks it's like conspiracy theory against their team or something. I don't know. But I didn't think they deserved it, but I definitely thought Colorado over VCU should have been in there. Or Clemson, because Clemson's not particularly impressive either, and the ACC is terrible.
Yeah, they don't like Clemson.
Yeah, I was going to save this for my Wandy, but we're on it now, so we'll just go. Colorado definitely deserves it over VCU, but they were 8-8 in the Big 12. Like, the tournament is to determine the national champion. If you want to shout out a national championship, maybe be above 500 in your league.
I agree with Greg.
I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with Greg completely. I was talking to another friend about – I was talking to Bobby, actually, former Alligator editor and writer Bobby Colovi. But he was saying, like, these bubble teams, like, when's the last time a bubble team, you know, really contended for a national championship? It would probably be George Mason. But they were on the bubble for a different reason.
Right.
It's because they were a small school, not because they weren't a good team. But, you know, I mean, the point he makes is true. It's just, you know, at that point, I grew up playing sports my whole life. In situations like this, I've always been taught and told, like, you know what? Next time, it's on you. You do a better job of taking the decision out of their hands. If you're a boxer, don't let it go to decision. You know, knock the guy out. That's what we're talking about here with these teams. Like, you had your chances to play your way in definitively. You didn't do it. Maybe the tournament made a bad decision here or there. I think they did a pretty good job this year overall. And we're splitting hairs. Like, Hubert Davis was blowing a gasket the other day, going nuts about, you know, why can't we get the best 68 teams in? And I'm like, dude, that is a subjective argument. Everybody talks about it like the best 68 teams is an objective argument. You have to make decisions. We're splitting hairs. It's tough to do, and I feel like they did a pretty good job here. And this year, I don't feel like teams have a lot of room for complaint.
Yeah, Dickie V about...
he almost lost. Yeah, he made a push for commissioner of college basketball.
He wants Obama and Congress involved.
His dude, I mean, his head literally about exploded. Just, he and Billis were in rare form last night. I mean, they were ridiculous. Dickie V went so far to be like, they should have all these former coaches on the panel. And he mentioned Thompson from Georgetown and Bobby Knight. And then the one person that has any objectivity on ESPN... for his sport, Gottlieb, was like, that's probably not a good idea because if anybody's going to have biases, it's going to be those coaches that are like, I hate that team and I like that coach. Right. So I'm
this guy's
him.
My friend.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that is not a good idea.
No.
One other argument I wanted to make, and you can see it a little more in the Southeast for Florida, is that they valued also how the team is right now. And I look at the BYU 3-seed, Florida 2-seed. It's like BYU right now is a 3-seed, even though they maybe had a resume of a 2-seed. But then you look at them now, they don't have Davies. They haven't played that. They've kind of limped into the tournament, and they don't get rewarded with the 2-seed. They get sort of the appropriate 2-seed.
Do you have internet up?
I can get the internet from where
see
I am.
See if you can grab BYU's strength of schedule and RPI. I don't know off the top of my head, but I would guess they're a team that has, like, that sort of gap. Like, I think their RPI is probably good, but I think, like, the losses down the stretch probably, like, drop that a little bit. Where their strength of schedule doesn't quite match up with their RPI, but maybe I'm wrong.
Right. Jesus. It has a bye RPI rank, and in all Division I games is 5.
Either way.
Oh, wow. Okay. So their RPI is really high.
Insane, yeah.
Gene Smith is just not going to have a good week. Like, that's the funny thing, though, is that, like, we definitely seem to be agreeing that, you know, if you burst your own bubble, it's your fault. It's not somebody else's.
Exactly.
But that, he's being taken to the woodshed by a couple of these places just because, you know, people think that it's so egregious that Colorado and Alabama and the like got out. I mean, the funny thing is, though, it's like when your team's in – We can laugh about it, which thankfully my team is in that position, so I can laugh about it, you know, because it's almost like watching a cat fight where a couple people are, like, fighting to get into VIP, but you're already in and somebody else is already in. You're like,
you're already having a good time.
Yeah, exactly. You're already having a good time, and you're
watching
like, well.
Watching the plebes fight outside.
They're like, well, there's one spot left, poor bastards. One of them gets it, right. But, I mean...
The argument Kyle's making is, like, fans, like, bitter about officiating. It's like Florida fans bitter about the Kentucky officiating. It's like, you know, maybe if your team played more aggressive, you'd get to the line. You know, don't complain about the bad foul calls when your team's not playing enough to earn it. So,
yeah, my mom always told me when we had bad refs growing up that you should win by more so that the refs aren't a factor. You know, I understand that's a little, you know, we talk about that being a little ridiculous at this level of play. But at the same time, like, there is a degree of truth to that. Like, take it into your hands and make sure – like, I think Florida did a really good job this year of really just, like, pretty much making the most of their opportunity once they got to conference play.
Right.
So.
For some actual numbers on the BYU-Florida thing, according to RealTimeRPI.com, the most reputable of sources, BYU has the 5th RPI in the country, 21st strength of schedule. Florida has the 8th RPI and 4th strength of schedule. So that, I don't know if you're looking for numbers on that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, you're kind of splitting hairs between a 2 and a 3. You know, it's just like, at this point, get on the court and play.
Right.
You know, you got to outlast the whole field regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Florida got a lucky matchup obviously BYU would have to win their games, Florida have to win their games. But I think if it comes to a Florida-BYU game, I think Florida would have a big advantage in that one. Just because we talked about that Florida's weakness is they're not physical enough inside. And BYU without Davies, that's not really an issue
right.
that you wouldn't be able to physically match up with them. So I think
I feel like Macklin and Young would probably have their way with that matchup, which seems weird to say.
Right.
BYU is like getting out of the first weekend.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. I don't even have them getting out of there. But I like. I mean, I don't really like teams that are built like that. You had Steph carry a team like that a couple years ago. I mean, he was, obviously Jimmer's a special player. I don't know if he's on the same level that like a Curry was, but I feel like UConn and BYU are actually really similar teams. I know they play in very different conferences, but you have one guy who just carries the scoring load for you, not a great facilitator, not a lot of inside help. You just got one great guard that scores a ton of points. So I feel like it's tough for the – you can win a couple games with a guy like that, but it's hard to make a deep run and him constantly carry you for days on end, you know? So.
And Michael Lloyd Jr. is not around to be the microwave against right. Florida coming to score 19 points off the bench. Go ahead.
Well, that was the only thing I'll say about that, and I do agree with Kyle that like what Steph Curry did, you know, was fun as hell to watch, and it was amazing. But it's not going to happen, you know, every year. The only thing is this field is so weak. If any field where one dominant player can just, you know, go crazy and lead a team in, he may not send them to the Final Four, but lead a team to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16. This is the type of season because the teams, you know, there's not much difference but from a 12 and a 4, you know, or 12 and 5, those type of teams anymore, so.
All right, we're going to move on to the Alligator Sports Podcast staple of predicting every first-round game, then we're going to jump into the Elite Eight and get our Final Four and championship game picks. But we're going to start with Florida because that's where we've been off of.
I'll say this about the annual projecting every game. Now, none of us are going to be right about everything, but one of us is going to be right about everything. You know what I'm saying? Like. Yeah. If you can sort through this information, somebody will give you the right answer. You just don't know who it's going to be. You got to mix and match well out there. So
this is also a tradition unlike any other.
Good luck, kiddies.
Yeah. I remember the first time we did it. We did it in our sports office for some reason, and there was all of us gathered in a corner, and like none of us were like we didn't really know what we were doing when we started, and we ended up picking literally every game of the tournament, and it took like 3 hours, and it was great. So tradition unlike any other, and we're going to get to it right now, starting with Florida and Cal Santa Barbara. Two seed. Let's talk about Kyle. You have one more thing to say about the seed.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about what Doug Gottlieb's been saying. I actually like Doug Gottlieb a lot. I almost agree with everything he has to say, but I think he pulled a weird move this weekend because before that they played Kentucky in the final, they had him on TV saying that he thought Florida was a dark horse Final Four team, and went as far as to say that he would be less surprised if Florida made the Final Four than any team from the Big East.
Right.
Now, people thought that was a little extreme towards Florida. I kind of agreed with him. I was like, all right, cool. I'm with that. Then once the seeding came out, he goes on TV and says, I didn't hear the quote, but I've seen it rewritten many times, that Florida is the most overseeded team in the tournament at a 2. Now, I understand you can like a team from, you know, from where they relative to seed. Like, I like Morehead State, and I think they're a dark horse. Obviously, if they got like a 5, I would say Morehead State is overseeded. But in this case, he's saying that he thinks they're better than any Big East team, but he had a huge problem with them getting a 2 seed. Like, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I think it's a good example of when the tournament time comes around, people like to have like their dark horse teams and pick against the majority, and then it's like the majority suddenly swings one way. It's not cool to like that anymore.
Yeah,
and that's sort of what happened there. But I don't know what your guys' take is on that.
It's like it's like his favorite indie rock band became popular.
Yeah, Green Day sold out.
Exactly.
And got popular.
And he just wasn't cool anymore.
Well, I mean, I kind of see what he's saying, because to me, I see where you can look at the resume and say Florida doesn't deserve it, but I still think that they're better than all the 3 seeds and a couple of the 2 seeds.
Agreed.
So from that perspective, I understand where, like, yeah, they're overseeded, but even if they weren't, I would have picked them to go as far as I'll pick them to go as they're supposed to as a 2 seed.
Right.
Right.
And I'll go a step further. Adam and I actually talked about this last night. It's funny that when you hear – I have not heard Gottlieb say this, but I think Hubert Davis actually said it, and somebody else said it on ESPN, that the Big East in basketball has now eclipsed like the SEC in football.
I've heard this from
multiple
people.
This argument's the dumbest thing to me. That like the SEC won 5 consecutive national championships.
Yeah.
Like the Big East continuously craps out in this tournament, partly because they do beat up on each other so badly, you know, during the regular season.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be a problem for SEC football. They seem to be good enough to just whoop up on anybody, you know, when it comes to the finals. So I hate that argument, and I've already heard that multiple times on TV the last couple of days. So
yeah,
maybe that could go into Gottlieb's thing about, you know, Florida making it to the Final Four over a Big East team, because traditionally they have struggled.
I mean, people are so impressed with the depth of the Big East, and it is impressive, but it's like, well, why don't you go ahead and add Miami, FSU, Georgia Tech, and whoever else to the SEC, give them 16 teams,
right,
and see how the depth is there, you know?
Yeah,
so,
right.
Then everybody will just beat up on each
right,
other in there.
Great. I don't know. It's just, I agree with Jesse, though.
All right, so let's start at the bottom of the Southeast. I'm assuming we're all taking Florida over,
yes,
the Gauchos.
Correct.
Narrowly.
Narrowly. Close one. I like the 7-10 matchup there, UCLA, Michigan State. Two teams with a lot of history either way if they play move on to play Florida.
UCLA is a team that has some talent, obviously. I really like their guy Nelson. He's like a 6'8", 7", guy, like kind of versatile rebounder, shooter for them. And Malcolm Lee is their best guard. But with that said, I think Michigan State's hot. And one of my friends always says, don't bet against Izzo in the tournament. And that's definitely true as far as I'm concerned. So I'd take State in that game.
I take State as well. And my quick defense and argument for them would be that I think Michigan State and Tennessee are both kind of like the Jekyll and Hyde of the tournament teams, because they are two of the most talented teams in the country. And if they get hot, they can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, jumping ahead, I think Tennessee's going to win their first game, and I think they easily could give Duke a scare. I don't think they will beat Duke, but I think I would not be surprised at all if Tennessee beats Duke in round two, and I think Michigan State's the same way. Don't be surprised if Michigan State beats Florida.
Right.
I have Michigan State, too. UCLA just turns the ball over too much. Biggest thing for me.
Yeah, clean sweep. Yeah, I like Izzo coaching in the postseason anytime. 3-14 there, BYU and Mighty Powerhouse Wofford.
We need to talk about this one.
Clean sweep of the Cougars. St. John's Gonzaga. They're not playing this in Madison Square Garden, so there is actually a debate, you know, if St. John's will lose. What do we think? I like the Johnnies here.
I have Gonzaga.
Really?
I like Sacre inside. And for St. John's, they actually, I don't know why this has not been talked about, their third leading scorer, DJ Kennedy,
yeah,
like tore his ACL, so he's out. I just think that's a factor. I like Gonzaga better.
All right.
Gonzaga was a team that totally backed in, and they got the auto bid and wouldn't have made it as an at-large probably. And then when they made it, I said I kind of like them, though, because they have some talent. But I think St. John's this year is kind of on a mission. I really like Hardy a lot, so I'm going to take St. John's in this game.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. Fortunately, you know, we have a couple days to make our official picks. But I have written down Gonzaga, and my thing is that St. John's, while it is senior heavy, they've never been, you know, they haven't been to the tournament in 10 years. So, and they seem to struggle when they're not playing in Madison Square Garden. So,
All right. Moving on to the next one, the Wisconsin Belmont, the 4-13. Love the Bruins. Love Belmont. I'm taking Belmont. As much as I love Mike Brusewitz, our favorite redheaded Jewish forward for Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Belmont.
I want to take Wisconsin because I like Jordan Taylor. I like Lure inside. I like that team. But they scored 33 points, though. I can't pick that. I can't pick the team that just scored 33 points. I can't do it.
Yeah, I like both of these teams. As usual this year, there's a bunch of matchups where I don't like either team, and then a bunch of matchups where I like both. This is one where I like both, but I'm actually going to take Belmont in this one. I think they're a very, very, very good mid-major team this year.
And I actually had Belmont as well.
Wow, clean sweep of the 13 over the 4. Moving on to the next one up there, Kansas State, Utah State. Kansas State, who Florida beat earlier this year.
I got Utah State.
I'm a huge fan of Utah
State. I really like, they've won like 11 of their last 12. They've actually played a decent schedule, and Kansas State cannot hit a free throw to save their life. And so I think if it's a close game, Utah State takes it.
I'm gonna break it. I'm gonna go with Kansas State. I do like Utah State. I think they're a good team, and I think this game will be close. But I think Kansas State definitely got better as the year went on, a lot better actually down the stretch. And I think Pullen's gonna be the best player on the floor, which is
that's
sort of a tiebreaker.
I like in
these type games. So I'll go Kansas State in this one.
Yeah, Kansas State easily has the talent to win it, but I like Utah State for the reasons these two guys have said. Moving on to the 8-9 there, Butler, Old Dominion. It's a thriller.
I'll take ODU. Not a lot of analysis on this one. Butler's not the same team they were last year.
Yeah. I have ODU, too.
I have Old Dominion, too. I think the teams that have given them problems are the teams that play at a faster pace than Butler does. I think they'll be fine.
I'm actually taking Butler, just to be controversial. Pittsburgh over whoever comes alive out of the Arkansas Little Rock scrum there. So let's move on up to the Southwest bracket. We'll start at the top this time. Kansas, I'm assuming nobody's predicting the life-changing 16-1.
I watched Boston score 2 points in the first 10 minutes of their conference championship game, which somehow they came back and won against our boy, Pretty Boy Prey, and Stony Brook. We were robbed of a great character in this tournament, but yeah, I'll take Kansas, I guess, in this one.
Would have been a great Twitter character to follow in the NCAA tournament. But yeah, all Kansas there. Next, 8-9, UNLV, Illinois.
I got UNLV. I think Kruger's a better coach, and I think that UNLV is playing a lot better, and Illinois has – well, Illinois it definitely is more talented, but they have just underachieved all season and don't seem particularly impressive lately.
Yeah, I really don't like Illinois. I'm going to take UNLV as well.
I have Illinois. I'm just hoping Dimitri McKamey figures out how to play, and I don't think UNLV is going to capitalize on how soft Illinois is.
Kyle?
I'd have UNLV also.
All right. Moving on to the 5-12, another SEC matchup here. Vanderbilt, 5 seed, and Richmond Spiders, 12 seed.
All right. I have Vandy. I know that's not a sexy pick. I know actually technically most people, everything that I've read, a lot of people actually picking Richmond. But guilty. I think that Vanderbilt, both these teams are sharp shooting teams, and I think Vanderbilt just has better shooters than Richmond. And I also think Vanderbilt has, because, you know, Festus has started to play a lot better inside. I think they have that, so I think they finally do win a first-round game.
Yeah, I think Vanderbilt's a very good, well-rounded team, and like Jesse said, I think Azili is going to be a big factor. I have them, too.
I like Vanderbilt, and this might be one that I go back and change, but I picked Richmond just because I like the 5-12 upset there, and I don't love Vanderbilt. I like them, but I don't love Vanderbilt. So.
This section of the bracket is the hardest for me. I really like Vanderbilt, Richmond, Louisville, and Moorhead. I like all four of those teams. Right now I have Richmond, but I could swing back the other way pretty easily on that one by the time my bracket's due.
Yeah, I agree. And let's move on to the one below that. Louisville, 4, Morehead State, 13. I'm emotionally involved in this game because I love Morehead State. I love Kenneth Fareed. I pick Morehead State.
I took Louisville. Everybody knows how much I love Morehead and Fareed, and I hope they win. But I think Louisville's a real good team. If I'm being honest with myself, I think they're probably the best team in that little quadrant, so I'll take them.
I agree. I think Louisville's going to win, although I've never seen – this weekend I saw something I'd never seen before, Knowles for Louisville, airballed a dunk. Never seen that before.
Wow.
And
you got to be concerned by that heading into the tournament.
Yeah, but I'm taking Louisville.
Yeah, I think Louisville's pressure will get to Moorhead. They'll be fine.
All right. Georgetown 6 for USC, VCU 11.
I think USC is going to win. Georgetown is pretty injury riddled. They haven't won one game since that kid's been out. I think USC is actually a decent team. I know they've had some coaching issues, but he's back. So yeah, I think USC is going to win. And then
without Chris Wright, I'm taking USC too. Georgetown's just not the same.
I'll go Georgetown. Yeah. I don't really know though. I don't really like any of these three teams.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
I'm taking Georgetown for that very reason. The 3-14 there, Purdue St. Peter's. Purdue, everybody.
Purdue. Mm-hmm. St. Peter's did beat Alabama earlier this season, for what it's worth.
Right. Texas A&M 7 versus Florida State 10.
I literally don't like either one of these teams, but I went with A&M just because the Big 12 is better than the ACC. That was my – and I don't know how healthy Singleton is.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how Florida State's going to score other than that, so I'm going to take Texas A&M.
I got FSU, but I don't really know what to go with in this game.
Yeah, this game is terrible.
somebody had to say it.
I'll go with A&M. I like Middleton.
All right, and then everybody's got Notre Dame over Akron. I assume let's move on to the East, flip side of the bracket here. Ohio State, number one overall seed. I assume we all have them moving on pretty far. George Mason, Villanova, the 8-9.
I think this is a great game. This is one of the games I'm definitely looking forward to. I got George Mason. I think Villanova struggles to score consistently. They're kind of like Florida. They got a lot of streaky shooters on that team. George Mason is deeper this year than your normal mid-major is, and they have a bona fide stud in Cam Long. So I'm going to go with George Mason.
Yeah, I really like George Mason. This is a game I'm very excited to watch just in general. It's the opposite of how I feel about the UNLV-Illinois 8-9 game. I feel great about this game, but I'm going to pick George Mason.
Right, I'll take Mason, too. I'm not excited as you guys are. I think Villanova's been really bad. Like, I don't expect this to be that close, honestly.
Okay. Well, I think Jay Wright's a decent coach. I think he's going to get it together. And I think Villanova is actually going to come back and win this game. I think there's been too much pub on Mason, so I'm going with Villanova.
All right, the 5-12 there, West Virginia, and everybody's favorite game, UAB Clemson.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
West Virginia by default.
West Virginia, and you know what's even funnier is that there's actually three people on ESPN that picked Clemson to win this game, which I don't understand.
Good Lord.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and then my favorite juxtaposition of styles, Kentucky, number 4 versus 13, Princeton.
Yeah, Kentucky's going to kill them, I think.
Everybody got Kentucky.
Kentucky's too talented.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Who did Kentucky play in the first round last year? I feel like we had this exact same.
They played Cornell.
Cornell, that's right. I feel like it was the same, like, complete opposite styles, like, you know, really athletic Kentucky.
Close for
team.
A little while, and then they just kind of got gassed.
Yeah. All right, 6-11, Xavier Marquette.
One of the best matchups,
Cornell
I think.
Cornell played Temple in the first round last year?
Yeah. And
it would have been
Cornell
the second round?
No, it was played late.
Right.
Third round?
But it was, that might have been Sweet 16.
Yeah. Kentucky was a one seed. Right. Cornell wasn't a 16. They were like they weren't 8 or 9.
I thought they were like a 4 or 5.
Yeah, they were really 12. Good. It was the 5-12 game, I think.
Right. They still Temple. Played an Ivy League school.
Okay. Yeah. All right, point being that. So let's move on to the Xavier Marquette.
I think it's a great game. I have Xavier though. I think Marquette is a pretty good team, but I think Xavier, after watching them play Georgia and watching them play a couple other teams, I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, this one I agree. I think this one's going to be a good game. I'll take Xavier too. I was really impressed when Florida played them in Cincinnati. Two Holloway's great.
I respect Marquette not at all. So yeah, Xavier
really
by,
don't like
by a decent amount, I think.
Yeah, I like Xavier in that one as well. Everybody's got Syracuse over the Fighting Larry Birds in, as the 14th seed, Indiana State.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse's game here, 7 Washington versus 10 Georgia.
Oh, well, of course I got to go the Dogs. But I do think my bold prediction will be whoever wins this game beats UNC. And my argument for that is that when looking at UNC's resume, Mark Fox actually brought this to light yesterday on ESPN, which was kind of funny. But UNC has actually, if you look at their thing, they really haven't beaten anybody that's decent. They beat Kentucky by 2 points early in the season, and they beat Duke. And other than that, they beat a lot of crappy teams. And they lost to Georgia Tech by 25 points. And Tech was awful this season. So, and I think Washington's going to be is good, too. I think Isaiah Thomas is nasty. So, I mean, it depends on if Tompkins, you know, plays well and Leslie plays well. You know, I mean, that game's a toss-up game. But I think whoever wins that game, my prediction is they're going to beat UNC.
I think between Brian Manning inside, Benoit Overton, and Isaiah Thomas that – Washington can defend Georgia's big three there, and I think that Washington will pull that game out. As for North Carolina, I think they're a completely different team since Kendall Marshall started running the point and since Harrison Barnes started playing so much better as he's been lately. So I think they're dangerous, but I do think they're a little bit overrated just when you look at how close all their ACC tournament games were and then getting blown out in the final.
I just thought it was funny, just a quick caveat, when they had Fox on ESPN yesterday arguing – or just kind of like stating what he thought his team's case was for Georgia to get in. And he kind of threw out a little funny thing. He was like, well, all of these teams, people were talking about North Carolina maybe being a number one seed. And he goes, I think we have more top 50 wins than them. I just thought it was really funny because, like, they could easily play each other in the next round. Right. But it was like, right. It was a fair dig, but, you know, there you go.
Yeah. The funny thing is Mark Fox throwing stones from his glass house because Georgia won fewer games in the SEC East than Alabama did. And Alabama
right.
didn't
exactly.
make the tournament. It's
yeah.
just very funny. Like,
right.
Argument there.
Yeah, I don't think Georgia beat a whole lot of good teams in conference either, but whatever. I think Georgia's going to win the first game. I think they're a good team. I like UNC a lot, and I think they're a team that's shown a ton of growth, pretty much for the reasons Greg stated. Kendall Marshall and Harrison Barnes have really added a different dimension late in the season, so I like them a lot, and I think they'll be the Sweet 16 representative, but I have Georgia in that first round game.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgia as well, just because I think they're talented enough to win that one. Then we all got UNC. I take it. Moving on, we'll move on to the final region here, the West. Duke, the number one there. Everybody's no more life changing. 16-1 Duke over Hampton. 8-9 Michigan, Tennessee.
I think Tennessee's too athletic for Michigan. I think Tennessee wins that game.
I agree completely.
I think Tennessee kills it on the boards this game. That they should win.
Big Brian Williams game.
Big baby Brian.
Big Brian Williams person. I don't know about the actual how he plays, but
right.
I'll make it a sweep for Tennessee.
All right, moving on to the 5-12 Arizona Memphis.
I hate this game.
Yeah, I despise this
game. I don't like Zona and I don't like Memphis, but I'm picking Arizona.
I think Memphis is terrible. I actually like Derek Williams, so I'm going with Arizona.
Yeah, I like Derek Williams, but I just don't like this game.
I like Zona, too. I really like Derek Williams a whole lot. And, I definitely don't think Memphis is particularly good this year. I got Zona pretty easily.
Oh, baby.
Right, taking Arizona.
Boy got a big old thing on his bracket right there.
All right, let's go move to the 4-13 Texas and Oakland. Everybody.
This is what I'm talking about.
Oh.
All right, well, this is kind of the corollary we talk about every year where
Roy Barnes can't coach.
First of all, I don't like Rick Barnes as a coach at all, but also I don't think Texas is very good, and I'm going to have them losing to Arizona anyway. So for the sake of filling out my bracket, if I'm a little on the fence about that 4-13, I'm just going to take Oakland because I have Texas losing the next game as it is. I think Oakland had a tremendous year. I don't know pretty much anything about their team, I'll be honest.
They beat Tennessee.
They beat Tennessee, yeah. I know that, and they had a really, really good, like, a dominant season for a low-major team, so I'm going to go ahead and say they knock off
Texas. I think they also beat Michigan. They played a lot of Big Ten teams because, you know, Oakland's in Michigan or whatever, so I think they play a lot of Big Ten teams.
And Oakland, I think it's like Keith Benson or somebody who's, like, really good. I just think that Texas defends so well, they'll be able to handle whatever Oakland's going to throw at them.
Yeah, I picked that. I mean, Texas 3 weeks ago was supposed to be, like, consensus best team in the country. So right. If they can't win this – but, again, there's teams I hate. I had a little thing here next to me. I hate Texas because I can't stand Barnes. Like, Barnes has had some supremely talented teams, and he goes in and just chokes.
Durant and Augustine. Exactly. Like, who are you making your run with?
Exactly. Right. And the argument can go for Kansas and Pitt the same way, just because they seem to choke all. I mean, they just break your heart, break your brackets every year. It seems like
I'm gonna take Texas in that one. Oakland could be, but I'm picking too many 13 seeds to win here. I can't get too out of control. I'm gonna take Texas. 6-11, Cincy, Missouri.
Yeah, I think Cincy's a better team.
I got Cincy also.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fun game. They both play pretty fast, but I like Cincy. Missouri's terrible away from home. Games in D.C. I don't know.
And they turn the ball over a lot.
Yeah, I think Cincy will be fine.
This is my Tyler Jett upset special. He's a huge Mizzou fan. I'm taking Missouri. Just the 6-11. I picked too much chalk on this side of the bracket and mixing it up here. I'm going to take. And again, I don't have Cincinnati moving past the next game, so I like the 11 seed there. UConn Bucknell, anybody?
I got UConn. I don't like UConn.
Bucknell beat Kansas couple years ago.
Yeah, UConn's one of those teams where I feel like my wisdom set in a little bit. In past years, I would look for a reason to knock them out in my bracket, but I don't like them, but I don't think any of these teams are going to beat them, so right. I got UConn.
I got UConn.
Like, UConn in the tournament scares me just because, like, Georgetown last year did really well in the Big East tournament, won it, and then lost to Ohio in the first round.
Right.
Typically, the teams that run through the tournament, the Big East, maybe they don't play that well in the NCAA.
McNamara a couple years ago.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I got UConn advancing as well. Temple, Penn State, 7-10.
I got Temple. I think Temple's defense is nasty. They can't score a lick, but I think if they can stop Penn State.
I'll take Penn State just because I think they're playing good basketball right now.
You agree?
Exactly what Jesse said. So yeah. Temple.
All right, split. So got 2-2. 2-2, yeah. And San Diego State, I assume we have.
I got the Aztecs.
All righty. So are we moving on then to the Elite Eight here? Do you want to? Yeah. Do we want to set up first who we have in the Elite Eight each?
Yeah, let's do that. Good plan.
Okay.
Good work. This is why you host this thing.
Right? This is why I drive this bus. Let's start with Kyle.
All right, where do you want me first?
Start in the East so we can do this in a normal.
Okay, the East is Ohio State. Yes. All right, I have Chalk here, boringly. I have Ohio State and I have UNC. I think Ohio State's got to be the prohibitive favorite to win it at this point. I think Kentucky's definitely a scare for them, but I think Ohio State is really good offensively, and I think they get past Kentucky. And UNC, we talked about a little bit before. I don't see anybody knocking them off in that little section. I think they got a pretty good draw, so I'll take UNC.
Actually, you want to move on then to do your whole Elite Eight, or do you want to go region by region Elite Eight?
Whatever you want to do, man. This is your show.
Let's go region by region.
I'm a guest here. Okay.
Yeah, I also have Ohio State and North Carolina. Basically the same reasons Kyle said. It's Monday at 1:30, full disclosure, so a lot of this could change before Thursday. I tend to go a little more chalk until I look into it deeper, but for now we're sticking with that.
Yeah, I have Ohio State, UNC as well, and I have 1-4-3-2 in that bracket, so I have Ohio State over Kentucky, UNC over Syracuse.
Yeah, same here.
I have Ohio State versus Syracuse.
Okay.
I think Syracuse is a pretty good team. They've played well at the end of the season. They haven't lost in regulation since the beginning of February or something like that. Some stat I heard. They've lost twice, and both times it was in overtime. So I'm going with Syracuse. I think Scoop's pretty good.
All right, let's move on down to the West. The Duke bracket here. I got Duke UConn in the Elite Eight. I'm gonna just throw that out there. I'm gonna lob that grenade and let you guys react to it.
Okay.
I got Duke San Diego State.
Yeah, I think we all have Duke, right? But San Diego State, I really like. I think Kawhi Leonard and Billy White inside are the great players, and then experienced guards. I just think they're a really good team.
Yeah, I have Duke, San Diego State also. I like Arizona, but I can't pick them to beat Duke, and I don't really like UConn that much. So I think their run ends there in the Sweet 16.
The only thing that scares me about San Diego State is that they've never been to the tournament. And so they never won a tournament game. I mean,
but
so
Steve Fisher has, right?
That's definitely true. Steve Fisher definitely has.
Your point's true,
but like,
I like
it just scares me that like, because I wanted to take them to the Final Four, and it was like this. You know, I don't know if I can put them in the Final Four because they are definitely good enough to win. It's just a lot of, for whatever reason, experience seems to reign, you know, most of the time in these tournaments.
Right. I'm taking UConn there just because of the thing Jesse talked about earlier. We talked about it last night, is the sort of the great player corollary. I think he can lift them over.
You can tell when we all talk about this, there are different theories or approaches to pretty much every game, and there's not necessarily a right one. I mean, it's just different things. You like different things in different matchups, and it's tough to predict, and obviously no one does this well, no matter how many games you follow, with consistency. So, I mean, like I said, somebody's approach in all these games will be right. You just got to figure out whose is whose it's going to be.
Right. Some people do this better than others, and all we can guarantee is that we do it better than Joe Lunardi. So let's go to the Elite Eight in the Southwest. I have Kansas-Purdue. I don't like Purdue, but I just I can't really talk myself into Notre Dame for some reason. So I'm taking Kansas,
I like Purdue. I like Purdue. I think they're actually pretty good. I think they got a lot of NBA talent. I'm going Kansas-Purdue also.
I have Louisville-Notre Dame. I think Louisville is really good. I like the press. I like them inside and outside. They shoot the three really well. I think they'll have a good tournament. And then Notre Dame, I mean, I'm not sure about the bottom half of that, but
yeah,
when in Delco chalk, I guess.
Great minds, Greg. Great minds. I also have Louisville-Notre Dame. I think Kansas is a little bit overrated this year. I really like Louisville out of that four spot. And Notre Dame is definitely a team I like. I think they have leadership on that team. They have a team that is great offensively and a team that will also play some defense against you. They have a nice match of guards and some big men that are pretty good. So I'm going Louisville-Notre Dame.
I wanted to go Louisville over Kansas because Kansas seems to burn my bracket every year, but I didn't have the onions to do it. Part of it was because what we talked about a little earlier, you know, Louisville played several games in the Big East tournament, you know.
And I think Louisville has a tough run up to that spot.
Exactly,
Morehead's a tough 13 seed. Richmond or Vanderbilt's going to be a walk in the park. And then Kansas, I mean, those are three tough games to get through.
Yeah. So. Right. All right, let's move on down to the Southeast. This is where everybody's heart's at. I have Pitt, Florida.
As do I.
Same. Is that a sweep?
Wow.
Same.
I don't even like Pitt, but I just don't. I think they have a good draw.
Yeah.
I actually considered Utah State, but, I mean, I can't be that crazy.
You can't. No, it certainly can't be. All right, so let's do our Final Four. Greg, are you going to Houston? Are you following Florida to Houston?
No, I'm not. I'll go to Houston.
Independently.
But, yeah, I have Pitt there from that region.
Okay. Who do you have from the Southwest?
I have Pitt going against Louisville, and I have Ohio State going against Duke.
All right.
I got UF going to the Final Four, very subject to change. But I think they have a good draw. I mean, I really like their bracket is weak, in my opinion. So I'm going to say UF does it behind Chandler Parsons, and I'm going to say they play Notre Dame. On that side of the bracket, I think Notre Dame's a little bit more consistent of a team than Louisville is, although Louisville might have better top end than Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And then I got Ohio State Duke, which would be my two favorites that I liked before the bracket even came out on the other side.
All right, Jesse?
I have Florida falling to Pitt also, like Mr. Gregory. I think Pitt just has too much size, and they can match Florida's shooters, and so I think that's the difference there. And I actually have Purdue coming out on the, Southwest.
Yeah.
And then I have, reluctantly, because I'm not particularly, I don't particularly like Ohio State, but I just don't think the Big East is going to throw a couple teams in there. So I'm going to put Ohio State, and then I have Duke. I want to put San Diego State, but I think Duke's just going to be the better team.
Yeah. All right, I've got Kansas over Purdue. Coming out of the Southwest, I got Pitt over Florida as well. Coming out of the Southeast, Ohio State in the East. I think Soldier has a really big tournament. And then West, this is the most likely to change for me. I have UConn in the Final Four.
All right, so you got Duke. 3-1s. Is that what you got?
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. 3-1s. Kansas, Ohio State, and Pitt, and then the 3-seed UConn.
All right.
Who's a national champion?
For me, I have Duke over Pitt. I think Duke. Just they're big, they're physical, they can shoot. I trust Nolan Smith in the tournament. I'm going with Duke.
I've picked Duke the whole year. I'm not going to let an injury get me off of them like I did UNC a couple years ago. Hopefully Krzyzewski doesn't come out and freak me out in the middle of the night like Roy Williams did with Ty Lawson. But I'm going to say Duke over Notre Dame. Notre Dame beats Florida in the Final Four.
I got Duke over Pitt.
Yeah, I'm going to be different. I got Kansas over Ohio State.
All right.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, it's very different. I'm not in love with this Kansas team, but it's like the opposite of why. They've let me down so many times picking that I'm like, this is the year. This is the time they do it. And I do think they have a lot of talent. So
I'm surprised.
They're definitely the deepest team in the country. And I mean, it almost just scares you that they don't have enough minutes to allocate for all the players that they have.
Right.
I'm surprised none of us have Ohio State winning it.
See, I can't stand Ohio State, and it exemplified it by that game against Northwestern, that as good as Sullinger is, when the game's tied or the game's tight, their point guard's not good enough to figure out who to get the basketball to. Yeah. Like, he just got boggled down, and they don't – like, they're over there double-teaming Sullinger, and they're making – you know, playing a zone, making this guy beat him one-on-one, and he just – he couldn't do it. And they got it because, they got a couple lucky free throws, and that ended up winning them the game, but –
Right, I don't trust freshman guards handling the ball in a tournament to make a deep run through all of these quality teams.
All right, so that's our brackets. You can fill out yours online, as I'm sure you already have. You can also fill them out on alligatorsports.org and sign up for our bracket challenge. If you beat that bracket you just heard from me, you are eligible for fabulous prizes, which include, I think, a $500 gift card to Best Buy, which is really a heck of a prize.
All you have to do is beat Adam?
All you got
to
do is beat – well, if you beat me, you're eligible for a drawing for a grand prize. But
okay,
actually,
there will be countless people that are beating you.
Everybody's going to beat – yeah, everybody's going to beat me. But I think if you win the whole thing, you get the $500 Best Buy gift card. If you beat me, you're eligible for a drawing for like a $100 gift card,
okay,
or something along those lines. It's not the system we did 2 years ago where you didn't have to get first to win.
Okay.
So this is a much better bracket challenge. I like that. So sign up on alligatorsports.org as soon as possible, and you'll probably beat me. So enjoy that. All right, we're on a little bit of a time crunch here, as per usual. At least this time we're not racing my computer's battery life like Greg and I did on the road. But we've got to get out to some more basketball interviews here, so we're going to skip intro to sports journalism. We'll get to that once again next week. We've got a lot of good topics to talk about from the listeners, but keep sending those in to podcast@alligator.org. We're going to do the weekly awards, Major Wright Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport, and Wandy Pierre-Louis Bad Angles of the Week. I firmly believe in ending on a bad note. We're going to start with the majors, and we're going to start with Greg.
All right, mine's going to UConn and Kemba Walker. Obviously won the 5 games in 5 days to win the Big East tournament. To me, first of all, that's a bigger accomplishment than whoever wins the NCAA tournament. Just from a standpoint of they did not – like, the teams they played are top-quality teams, the top of the Big East, and a lot of them had the first-round bye. So they were only playing their third or fourth game, where UConn was on their fourth or fifth. And Kemba Walker just took over pretty much every one of those games, scored 130 points for the tournament. Just, it was outstanding from him.
Kyle, your major?
My major is going to go to the first four. Not necessarily the addition of the first four, but how they decided to do it. I'll admit I wasn't aware of the format until the last couple weeks here. But I appreciate the fact that it's four of the small school teams that are fighting for, 16 seeds, and then also four of the bubble at large teams of the big major conference schools. I appreciate that, because if this were college football, there's no doubt in my mind the little guy would have got screwed. They would have put eight automatic qualifiers from small conferences in there, let them play their way into the tournament. I really appreciate the fact that they realized, hey, we're taking three extra at-larges that we wouldn't have taken last year. Let's make them play in as well. So I appreciate the way they did that system.
All right, Jesse?
Well, my Wandy, is that what we're doing, right?
We're doing majors.
We're majors first. Oh, okay. My major then goes to the kid from Princeton for hitting that nasty shot over Harvard in the last second. It's nothing like sticking it to your rivals when they haven't been to the tournament since World War II. So I thought that was pretty nasty. And apparently, the guy has a giant bruise on his hip from where he got tackled by all of his teammates, and the whole crowd killed him. So he may be a little hurt for this next first round game against Kentucky, but you know what? He killed the hope to the Crimson. So
yeah, more power to him.
Yeah, good job.
All right, I was contemplating just now giving mine to the UAA's Kyle Niblett, who transcribed this morning's 30-minute Billy Donovan interview, and I just got an email with it, and now like 2 hours worth of our lives now cannot be devoted to doing that. So props to him, but I'm going to give it to ESPN's Doug Gottlieb for the reasons we talked about earlier. Some guys do get caught up a little bit in the good old boy system of sports and in college basketball. Dick Vitale especially sort of was getting involved in that, and Gottlieb sort of brought the voice of reason. I don't think he's always 100% right, but I really respected his opinion on that when everybody was getting kind of overly emotional and not taking a step back and analyzing it. So props to Doug Gottlieb. Wandy's? You got some?
Well, your major is a good segue to my Wandy, because my Wandy is going to go to everybody who just lost their crap yesterday. And there were a lot of people on ESPN, on Twitter, on these different networks, absolutely going insane. Like, the world had ended. And in my opinion, some years, especially in the past when there was still that prevailing attitude of, like, you know, screw the little guy. When Billy Packard was still kicking around, there was reason to lose your crap sometimes. But I feel like this year, I mean, who are you getting emotional about? You know, who are you really defending adamantly that, like, didn't have a million chances to play their way in? Who really got screwed here? I don't really think anybody can make the case that they got absolutely hosed. And for that reason, we can all split hairs and have informed discussion, and we're going to have different opinions. Like I said, it's a very subjective conversation, but I see no reason to just freak out and call for a change to the system and all this other stuff. So my Wandy goes to people who were doing that yesterday.
Obama can stay in the Oval Office. You don't need to come down to come to Indianapolis. There's no commissioner of college basketball yet. Everybody can calm down. So, Greg, your Wandy?
Yeah, mine is very similar to Kyle. It's just like the Colorado, like we said before, they were 8-8 in the Big 12. Like, in football, if you lose two games in the Big 12, you're done. Like, there's no shot at a title. And Colorado's mad because they barely made 500, and now they're not going to play for the championship. Like,
they scheduled Harvard at Harvard, Greg.
Just win a couple games. I don't care who you play. Just win.
Just win, baby. That's Greg's motto. Yep. All right, Jesse, your Wandy?
Mine is for Mr. Seaweb. Last night I watched the good, fabulous Fab Five documentary. I thought it was really well made, but I thought the biggest flaw was that Seaweb was not in it.
Good Wandy.
Makes no sense that a guy that is on TV four nights a week and is very media savvy refuses to go on a well-made documentary and talk about a moment where he should be man enough to admit that he screwed up. You know, it was very interesting. Not even that he just screwed up, because it was interesting in the documentary. They talked about there was actual footage of guys, you know, telling him to call a timeout. Mm-hmm. And so it would have added some real perspective if the man who committed this, you know, fatal error had been there to talk about it. And I thought, because I really thought it was well made. I went home and watched it after we were done. It just really disappointed me that, you know, he lied. You know, he did all that lying anyway. I don't give a crap about that. But just that he refused to come on and be a part of it when every other guy on that team was in the documentary.
Right.
I've never understood people who don't take the opportunity to defend themselves and explain themselves, because I feel like you can only help yourself if you have, like, some sort of reasonable point of view. Which leads me to my Wandy, which is Florida spring practice. You want to talk about not showing yourselves? Florida spring practices are closed to the public and the media, which means that our coverage of Florida spring practice this year, the start of the Will Muschamp era, will be based on whatever they tell us, whenever they come out and lie to us about in press conferences and interviews. I'm really not on board with that. I didn't want to go watch spring practice. That does not sound like fun. That does not sound like a way I want to spend my days. But I really don't like the idea that I'm not fully aware, and none of us are, of what's happening inside those gates. So,
to be fair, even in past spring practices, it's pretty easy to lie to us. I'm not going to lie, because we don't really know what we're watching out there. Anybody who says different is lying to you. But it does help in the way of, like, who's not there, who might be in trouble, who might be injured that we ordinarily they couldn't hide from us. But spring practice every year, I mean, who's going to be this year? Sam Roby, you know? So we'll find out in a few days here.
And we'll probably have a lot to say about that on next Monday's podcast. We'll definitely have to do a little bit of a hoops football split. Greg is going to Tampa this weekend. We'll all be kicking around here listening to Will Muschamp, Charlie Weiss, Dan Quinn. We're all heading to that in a matter of minutes and hours here to listen to their first press conference. So send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. We appreciate all of it. You can find us on Twitter, twitter.com/alligatorsports. Adam D. Berry.
At K. Maestri.
And Kyle's stuff is available at gatorbait.net, which go ahead and do that spiel.
Gatorbait.net, part of Rivals, Florida's team site. Come check us out. This week, really heavy on all the spring practice stuff. I'm going to try to be getting information up as fast as I can, as much as I can. So look for that stuff, also especially on my Twitter. So
yeah, and we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Peace.